Well, good morning, church.
Good morning.
And good morning to you, Lord. So we all know this story, the story of the Transfiguration. We've heard it many times. We've heard it preached many times. It's in all three of the Synoptic Gospels, so we get to hear it every year. It's always the last Sunday before the Sunday before Ash Wednesday that we read this. So I wondered, knowing that you all have heard plenty of sermons about this event, what could I do, what could I say today that might be just a little bit different that would make it relevant to us in the context of who we are right now? So I thought about it. So when we make something different or make something new, well, we transform it, we transfigure it. We make it more beautiful or more elevated, at least in the story this morning. It can, of course, go the other way, but we're going to stick with the beauty this morning. It makes a dramatic change in somebody's appearance or character. Now, I love it when the dictionary gives me words that helps me to figure out what it is that I'm going to say. It's always nice to know that I'm as smart as the dictionary. So, in other words, for me, the concept of, at the heart of this passage is about transformation, about change. Now, this may not be a new idea, the new idea that I was hoping for, but I'm thinking of it in a different way this morning, and I hope that you'll join me in and come to a similar place where we can enter Lent with a whole new idea of where we want to take our hearts during the next 40 days. The changes in this reading are what's coming on in Jesus' world. Things are going to be dramatically different when they go down from the mountain. On the mountain, Peter wants to build tents. He wants to house Jesus and the prophets, Elijah and Moses. He wants to protect this moment. He wants to savor the sacred and secure the sacred. And that's to me, is so understandable. But then God says, watch this. What I plan is beyond your wildest imagination, Pete. I think God called Peter Pete sometimes. There's no doubt that after the experience on the mountain, Peter, James, and John had a whole new understanding of who Jesus was. And hopefully this offers us an opportunity to develop a new understanding of who Jesus was. And again, God says, you guys can't begin to imagine what I have in store for you. So get ready, everyone. Because see, God's dramatic presentation in the reading today wasn't just for these men on the mountain. Well, it's for all of us right here today. And it comes when we invite God into our lives, and then we have to be ready for change at any time, in any way. We have to be ready so that God can make known the plans He has for us in a mighty and unexpected way. Sometimes we're not ready for the change that God has for us. And sometimes our ideas are not God's ideas. But part of what we need to do as we transform, as we change, we need to be willing to redirect our thought about what it is that we're supposed to do. Be ready to change and to transform our thoughts so that God can reveal His full glory to us. Change doesn't happen when it's convenient. At least it doesn't in my life. Actually, it seems to come at the most inconvenient times. And I don't know about you, but I try to protect myself from the possibility of change because change is difficult and sometimes uncomfortable. And when we have a good spot in our lives or we're in a good place, we just want to stay there. Everything is just the way I want it. I want to stay on the mountaintop. But then God says, watch this. So here's a question. When change comes, is it from God? Well, not always. But whatever the change is, whether it's something that the world brings to us or something that God invites us into, God always offers the opportunity to change through his power, through our relationship with God. And like the disciples, the idea of staying in the mountaintop place is so appealing. I mean, they could avoid everything if they didn't ever come down. They didn't have to return to a world that called them to do the work that Jesus had for them to do. They didn't have to accept what it was that Jesus was hinting at that was going to happen to him not that long away. And sometimes the double-edged swords of life are just, we just can't avoid them. And we can either become stagnant in the familiar or risk a transfiguration, a transformation, by taking a new and different step forward. The transfiguration tempts Peter to be satisfied with what has been and what is without risking what might be. He knows who Jesus is. God has pronounced that. This wouldn't be the first time. And Peter says, this is where we ought to stay, right here, right in the midst, in the glory of truth. And I found it interesting, as I looked at the three Gospels that tell this story, called the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, that Matthew's telling is the only one that Peter says to Jesus, "If you wish." He's the only one that says, "Let's build these tents," and then says to Jesus, "If you wish." In the other two tellings, Peter just says, "Let's build some tents." So I really like that idea. That's just a little bit different insight into Peter's humility and Peter's willingness to obey and follow Jesus. Jesus makes it clear that the future does not include telling of this miracle when they go down from the mountain. It has to wait until he is resurrected. And I wonder about when it was. We read it in the letter to Peter today, from Peter today. I wonder, at what point did these disciples share this story? Was it when they were in the upper room and they were afraid, or was it later when this letter was written? I mean, it's just so fascinating to me that this amazing thing happened, and it's just kind of like there. And I wonder about our amazing things, when things that are amazing happen to us. Do we say, I'm afraid to tell that. Somebody might think I'm a little bit crazy, that I saw a vision, that I heard God speak to me, however that came? Do we sweep moments of God's calling to us in the recesses of our minds, or do we stand up and shout them, declaring that Jesus is the Son of God, with whom God is well pleased? Once we have these amazing mountaintop experiences in our lives, when things are really good, when change comes and things aren't that good, do we just put them away as a memory? Or do we use those things to help us get through the tough times? So as we get ready to transition into Lent, I want us to remember the words of God as he spoke on the mountaintop. "This is my Son, the Beloved. With him I am well pleased." Listen to him. I pray that we will listen to him. When the disciples heard it, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them and told them, "Get up and do not be afraid." So as we travel through Lent, I'm going to have the courage and the theme of my journey to reclaim Jesus as the foundation of our journey, my journey, through the holy. I'm going to focus on what we spoke about briefly last week, the words in the Lord's Prayer that claim, that speak, that tell us, "Thy will be done." And to seek and feel Jesus touch us, touch me, and urge us to get up and not be afraid. To get up and to take the good news and the work of the gospel into the world. So, are we ready? Are we ready for Lent? This is the day that we say the Alleluias for the last time until Easter. It's a time that we hide or bury the Alleluias, so they're dormant and growing within us and ready to be shouted out at Easter time. So I invite you to take an Alleluia. Hide it somewhere. Don't forget where. And then bring them on Easter. And we're going to do something fun as we shout out the joy of the risen Lord. Amen.